All right, so I told you we were going to be covering the debate last night like Pulp Fiction, the movie. I got to be, I have to be clear on how I'm doing this. The movie, Pulp Fiction, not like Pulp Fiction, okay? The movie, Pulp Fiction. All right. I'm telling the producer here. That's what we have to do. All right, so we now move in for the kill. So they don't give Trump Megan, okay? They wait. They wait. You have the intro with the Brett Baer and the hands, and then they pepper the other candidates with some questions, very simple, very easy, and then you pivot to Megyn Kelly, and it opens. I mean, you could cut the tension. It was like, here it was. Everybody was like, yeah. And let me comment real quick. The audience, it was like a concert. Like, you actually had people mugging for the camera. So you had the moderators, and when the camera would go to Kelly or Baer, you would actually have people behind them making faces and waving. I mean, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. I mean, it literally was bizarre. It was like you're watching a baseball game or it was just weird. It was very, very weird. But, you know, I will say this. We complain when the audience is full of donors, because then they have their favorite, and it becomes this boo fest. You know, everybody cheers for Rubio, and there's the girl howling. And if Trump says hi, they boo. Or you get a room full of fans, and they're mugging for the camera. They're mugging for the camera. You know, they're mugging for the camera. Bizarre. So anyways, you get to Kelly, and she goes, "Mr. Trump, hi." And Trump goes, "Hello." And Megyn Kelly goes, "How are you doing?" And Trump says, "Nice to be with you, Megyn." And she goes, "Great to have you here." And then Trump goes, "You're looking well." And then Kelly goes, "As are you." What the? And then bang, Mr. Trump. And this is something that I'm going to do a story on. I'm going to have my producer do a story on, because I feel passionate about this. And again, it's amazing that no one else feels passionately about this, and they let their hate overtake them in what's right. Seriously. So Megyn Kelly asks Trump about the off-the-record editorial board meeting and the conversation that he had, and if there was anything that would contradict what he's been saying on the campaign trail. So right out of the gate, she is a journalist, or she's supposed to be. Remember, they're all advocates, and they're all advocates for Rubio. But if she's really a journalist, she should take an off-the-record conversation as like a holy grail. I mean, seriously, the only way a good reporter becomes a great reporter or a good journalist becomes a great journalist is having a relationship with candidates or politicians or celebrities or whoever. Whoever. And part of that relationship is, can I tell you something off the record? Can I do this off the record? Can I? Yes, yes, no problem. I mean, that's what builds a trust. That's what builds a trust. That's what builds a Walter Cronkite or a Morrow or, Woodward and Byrne, whatever. Any journalist or reporter that is regarded as successful, as respected, they've had off-the-record conversations lots of times. That's important. It's important to be able to have conversations with individuals where you could get information, and in turn, some of that information you can use to enhance other stories or start other stories or whatever. But that's like a sacred cow, man. And because it involved Trump, that sacred cow, that holy grail, was thrown out the window. And here's Megyn Kelly hammering. Here's Megyn Kelly hammering Donald Trump on a off-the-record conversation with the editorial board at the New York Times. She's hammering it. She's hammering him. Did you say anything that would contradict what you were saying on the campaign trail? You promised to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Did you say that you wouldn't do it, that it's all just campaign talk? I mean, you know, again, Megyn Kelly is a journalist, and here she is trying to violate, because she then starts to say to Trump, will you release the tapes? Will you authorize to release the tapes? Will you authorize to release off-the-record tapes so everybody in the country can hear it? Will you do that? Trump goes, no. An off-the-record conversation is off-the-record conversation. And then Megyn Kelly kept pressing. Well, why? Well, and again, she's a journalist. I know you hate Trump. I get it. But it's kind of the same thing when you hear the waterboarding situation. It's the same thing when somebody goes, waterboarding's bad. Waterboarding's torture. It's bad under any circumstances. But then they go, well, it's all right here. Or you could do it to a child molester. Or you could, you know, those exceptions. I'm not defending a child molester. I'm just throwing out there when you hear somebody say, I'm against the death penalty. But, you know, child molester, well, you know, that's different. Well, if you're for protecting reporters, you know, integrity, if you're for protecting free speech and journalistic integrity, an off-the-record conversation is an off-the-record conversation, regardless if it's Donald Trump, who you despise, or President Obama, who you love, or George Bush, who you love, or whoever. And I use the child molester example because child molesters are the worst human beings in the world, and there are people that hate Donald Trump so much. That hatred is that of hating a child molester. So, I mean, seriously. I mean, I've never seen people despise a human being as much as they do Trump. And for that, they make exceptions to something that there should be no exception for. An off-the-record conversation is an off-the-record conversation. End of story. That's it. That's it. That's like your friend saying, hey, I got to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody. And you're like, yeah, sure. And then they tell you, and then you go and tell all your other friends, hey, man, he told me something way crazy, but I can't tell you. But ask him if I could tell you. You'd be like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? So Megyn Kelly, boom, what did you say on the tapes? And then, of course, that was able to be pivoted to Ted Cruz going, you know, if you don't release the tapes, that means you're hiding something. If you don't release the tapes, you're a liar. And if there's nothing to hide, release the tapes. It's very troubling. We live in a country. I mean, imagine you have people saying that Donald Trump is a fascist. He's a Nazi. He's all of these things. And here's Ted Cruz saying, you're guilty. You're guilty. You are guilty. You now need to prove you're innocent. That's some fascist Nazi stuff. Here's the guy that says Donald Trump is a dictator, a fascist, he's all these horrible, horrible, horrible things. And then he is acting like a fascist dictator. He's acting like a communist. You're guilty. I have no proof of it, but I'm just going to say you're guilty. I'm going to tell everybody here on this stage you're guilty. Now, you could prove you're innocent, but if you don't do what I say, which is release these tapes, you're guilty. And then, of course, Marco Rubio piled in. And Megyn Kelly just sat back and went, bang, gotcha. Bing, bang, bong, gotcha. And then after Cruz hammered Trump, after Rubio hammered Trump, and it went back to Megyn Kelly to finish hammering Trump, they went to move on to another topic, and it eventually went back to Cruz, where he eventually went back to hammering Trump on the tapes. And Trump said, I already answered the question. I'm not releasing these tapes. End of story. Done. Move on. Done. Off the record is off the record. Done. So now that was the first Megyn Kelly beatdown. And then you pivot to Wallace. Wallace had a beatdown. Wallace's beatdown was Mr. Trump. Your budget, your tax idea, your proposals. People say we'll add $10 trillion to the budget. Where will you cut? How do you make this work? So Trump says, listen, I'm going to cut from the Department of Education. I'm going to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. I'm going to cut places, the EPA. And Chris Wallace goes, okay, but that will not get the deficit down. That will not bring these numbers in with each other. Trump goes, well, yeah, Will. You got to do cutting here. You got to do cutting here. Business will grow. Walz goes, let me show you a chart. And then, boom, here comes a chart. And what do you say to that? You know, what do you say to somebody throwing up a number that says a prescription drug price is this? Waste, fraud, and abuse is this. What do you say to that? Because let's face it, all of these numbers are different depending on what group does them. No different than polling. Remember the NBC Wall Street Journal poll? Remember from 2 weeks ago, Ted Cruz is beating Donald Trump by 2 points? He's 5 points behind in South Carolina. What was the poll? Well, the poll was conducted amongst very conservative voters and this bracket. And oh, okay. So every poll and every statistic is different. The unemployment number, the unemployment's at 4.9. But nobody factors in all the people that have given up looking for work. I mean, numbers vary depending on who does it. So if you're sitting there, or I should say standing there, and somebody goes, well, you're not going to save, you know, $100 billion cutting Department of Education. Yeah, we will. No, we won't. Let me show you a chart. And the chart goes, $50 billion. What do you say to that? Your chart's wrong. They're the news agency. So you go, okay. I mean, again, it's what do you say to that? What do you say to that? When somebody goes, this is the number. No, that's not the number. Yes, it is. Why is that the number? Because we're Fox. Oh, okay. You know, what do you say to that? What do you say to that? So Walz just kept throwing up charts. No charts for anybody else. No charts for anybody else. For Trump, charts. For Trump, it was charts. And again, they're numbers. They're numbers. And I guarantee you could find different numbers from different organizations putting these figures together. Remember the school shootings, or I should say mass shootings. Remember, it was about a month ago, the big debate was, oh, there's a mass shooting every day, and here's the statistics. And you look at this number, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and oh my gosh. And then when you go and look at how they get to this number, they include anything over three people being shot. And they include domestic violence. They include gang violence. They include, you know, things that are not part of the dialogue. When you're talking about school shootings and you know, somebody walking into a place and killing eight people and stuff like that, and putting it into the same category as a gangland fight in you know, Chicago or South Central or New York City. So numbers and statistics, what do you say to that? And when you're on a debate stage, you're not like, oh, okay, well, let me fact check this. Let me go do some research. Let me go ahead and you know, so you hear, hey, there's all this mass shooting. you sit there and go, okay, you're able to dig into the numbers and go, wait a minute, this doesn't count, you can't compare gangbangers in South Central to the terrorists in San Bernardino. That's not fair. I mean, it's just not. It's just not a fair comparison. That's so Wallace, bang, here you go, Mr. Trump. Your plan won't work, and here's the numbers that back it up. Where did you get those numbers from? There are numbers. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. Okay. Can't argue with that. You can't argue with that. You cannot argue with that. It's impossible. You automatically lose. So then it pivots to some questions to some of the other candidates, but real fluff. It's just fluff. And then back to Megyn Kelly. And this is where Megyn Kelly goes, Mr. Trump, rather it's last week, rather it's, yesterday, you have made statements, and those statements have been contradicted by yourself. And the question is, if people are voting for you, can they trust you? Can they trust that your core? I mean, that was the question. And before Trump could answer, Megyn Kelly goes, and we have a video. we have a video. Watch. And it was, a conversation with CNN from Afghanistan and Iraq. And then it was a question with, I think, Chris Cuomo. I mean, it was, three examples. And you're just like, wow. I mean, this is some serious, this is some serious, serious abuse here. Wow. I mean, what do you say to this? I mean, you could, again, NBC could easily do this to Hillary Clinton. NBC could easily show video of Hillary, but they don't. Fox could have done this with Rubio. They could, and they did a little of it at the last debate with Rubio and Cruz, but it was tame compared to what they did to Trump. And Trump said, listen, I thought she said Iraq, but it was Afghanistan, and the next day I corrected myself. And on the other situation, you got to be flexible. And on the Howard Stern invading Iraq, that involved, a year before the invasion, I half-heartedly said, yeah, I guess so. But then as time went on, and I was able to read up and get more information about the invasion, I said it was bad. She goes, well, what about the migrants? The migrants, you came out and said, and they showed the video of him saying, well, you gotta have a heart. And Trump goes, well, after we found more information out, that it wasn't just a handful of people, it wasn't a handful of women and children, it was thousands. And they weren't women and children. They were strong men. Then I reevaluated the situation, and I came to the conclusion that I had. Now, I thought the answers that he had were pretty good. Like, I thought he maneuvered out of that video pretty good. Thought he maneuvered out of it pretty good. He talked like the average person would. And I've said that time in and time again. He talks like the average person. The average person would say, yeah, the first thing I heard, the first thing I saw was these people in Syria, they're dying, they're hungry, and we need to help them. Yes, I saw that. I heard that. A couple children, some women. Yeah, that got to do what's right. And then I started seeing more reports and reading more stories. And I seen that it wasn't just five people. And it wasn't just men and women or children and women. It was men, strong men. And it was thousands. So I went, whoa, no. I said yes to this and not to that. I mean, that's a real answer that a real person that's not a politician would give. So that was, I thought, a pretty good maneuver. I thought that was a pretty good maneuver. So then they went to some more BS questions. Now, remember, I told you after the first break, they were already over 20 minutes on Trump and single digits for the rest of the candidates. Single digits for the rest of the candidates and double digits. 20, actually, I think it was 23 minutes. So the time that they spent going after Trump, it's a two-hour debate. I think ultimately it clocked in at close to 40 minutes. Seriously, I think it clocked in close to 40 minutes. I mean, it's just insane. Just insane. Just insane. So they give some of the questions. They you know, it's funny. They talk to Rubio and Cruz and Kasich about the Second Amendment, and each of them say they, you know, they respect the Second Amendment. They are staunch supporters of the Second Amendment, but Donald Trump isn't. He's a, you know, he's a scumbag to the Second Amendment. And then, of course, Megyn Kelly says to Donald Trump, or was Wallace or Bear, you in your book supported an assault bans, so the ban on assault weapons. Trump goes, yeah, well, I'm fine with assault weapons now. That was 2000. So you changed your mind on that. Trump goes, yeah. And then they moved on, but nobody brought up that Marco Rubio back in 99. Voted when he was part of the city commissioner. He was, you know, at the low level, making his bones, supported an assault weapons ban. Nobody brought that up. Nobody brought that up. Could have done research. Could have dug a little bit, but Rubio's time in the state legislature and working in the Miami district, no one asked about his vote to ban assault weapons. But hey, remember, you got to get Little Rube elected. Got to get Little Rube elected. So then it pivots back to Megyn Kelly, where she now goes after Trump on Trump University. And I think they might have spent about 10 minutes on Trump University. to the point where Megyn Kelly popped up a graphic of an appeals court judge. Because right now the case, which I kind of think is a little, you know, weird, again, for the Republicans to be so focused on the Trump University and the lawsuit, which is civil, considering that Republicans are for big business. They are not for activist judges. And the case hasn't played itself out. And it's obvious that you have individuals who are disgruntled. And I've said this before, because their lives were garbage. They were garbage. I mean, let's face it. And they thought by taking this course, magically, they would be billionaires. Now, there were other people who are hard workers. They're successful. And they said, you know what? If I take this course, will I get the knowledge? Will I have a little extra oomph? Will I get a little extra? Will I meet some people? Could I get a contact? Can I use this course to further my successful or rising career in real estate? And those people took the course, and those people went on to have success. They used some of the tools that they received. They used some of the contacts. They knew there was no magic pill. They knew there was no magic dust. And I broke this down before. No different than taking a Peyton Manning quarterback camp for $10,000. And then when you get done, you're ready to go play in the NFL. And then you come back to Peyton Manning and go, hey, man, I'm not a pro quarterback. What happened? I gave you $10,000. So it's surprising. I shouldn't say surprising. It's the establishment, and they hate Trump. So Megyn Kelly just went off. She read a activist judge who said, oh, what happened at the Trump, you know, some of the people that got disgruntled had the feeling of being ripped off by, like it was Bernie Madoff. I mean, she put the quote up there. She was like, how do you feel about that, Mr. Trump? He's like, well, some people didn't like the course. And then she's like, well, there was people saying that individuals were standing over them, making sure they wrote positive reviews on a card, and they were being intimidated, and they were, hey, you're just like, wow. Is Megyn Kelly litigating Trump University? Is she prosecuting Donald Trump for Trump University? And then she says, and you received a D with the Better Business Bureau. Trump goes, no, we have an A. She goes, no, you don't. You have a D. Trump goes, but that was before. We didn't ever submit it. We have an A. And the funny thing is, they actually have an A. NBC showed they had an A. I think it was an A minus. I don't know what the particulars were, but Megyn Kelly actually picked out the information that she wanted to pick out to go after Trump and Trump University and the Better Business Bureau. But even NBC, did a story that said, well, what Megyn Kelly said wasn't exactly true. She used information and only a piece of information to get the result that she wanted. I mean, again, it was a hit job. It was a hit job. So she's arguing back and forth with Trump. Like I said, she's prosecuting Donald Trump for Trump University. She's prosecuting. Just I mean, she is just losing. I mean, wow. It was a wow moment. It was a wow moment. Watch Megyn Kelly use old information, not talk about the elevated status of the Business Bureau giving Trump University an A. I mean, it was rough, man. It was rough watching her just prosecute Trump. So this went on for 10 minutes. I mean, literally, this was like 10 minutes of beating him up on Trump University, which then opened Rubio to attack Trump, Cruz to attack Trump. I mean, just an all-out assault. Just brutal. Had to figure Megyn Kelly was getting told in her earpiece, keep it going. You're doing great. Keep it going. You're doing great. Keep it going. You're getting a bonus for this. So proud of you. Keep it going. And that was the middle. How the meat of the debate was. That was the meat. Megyn Kelly didn't start it. Megyn Kelly didn't end it. They had Megyn Kelly right in the middle. And it was Trump University. The things that you said and then later reversed yourself. New York Times. I mean, three big assaults. Three big assaults. It's huge. Huge. And then, of course, we came to the end. Now, yes, there was other things in the midst. We have a debate back and forth about China. We got a debate back and forth with China. Wallace asked Trump if he's going to bring his clothing manufacturing back to America. And Trump talks about the devaluation of money. And it's funny because Rubio goes, we make clothing. We have clothing on our site, and it's all made in America clothing. The T-shirt, you stupid. The T-shirt. Trump has T-shirts that are made here in America, too. It's not what we're talking about, Rubio, you stupid. Talking about ties. You're talking about, you know, clothing. Stuff that Trump's not manufacturing. His name's on the brand. It's manufactured in China. It's manufactured in Mexico. How do you bring those jobs? How do you bring those factories? How do you bring those things back here? You got to be tough on trade. Rubio goes, oh, there's a lot of clothing companies that are in America. No, they're not. American Apparel was one of the last ones, and they're in bankruptcy. American Apparel. They were America. Yeah, well, guess what? You're going out of business because our country doesn't protect our industry, doesn't protect anything that we try to manufacture. We have horrible trade deals. I mean, that's just a fact. It's just a fact. So that was the debate in a nutshell. Okay? That was the debate in a nutshell. It was brutal. It was violent. Now, of course, there were other little snippets, rather the waterboarding. It's funny watching everybody talk about the waterboarding, or, well, how would you get generals? How would you get generals to do something that is against the law to do? Waterboarding. Antonin Scalia even said, is not cruel and unusual punishment, because they're not being punished. They didn't do anything to be punished. Cruel and unusual punished. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Please. Don't get me started. But watching people go, well, how are you going to get generals? How are you going to get this? How are you going to? Trump goes, well, because I'm a leader. The president of the United States, how do you even answer that question? Well, I'll sit down with them and then I will have a discuss. I mean, it's a chain of command. Listen. We waterboard, we torture. The things that we've done, were they sanctioned by the president? Why did they do it? The president didn't sanction it. Why did they do it? Why did they do that to enemy combatants? Did these soldiers go, I don't know if I'm supposed to rectally feed him hummus. I mean, it's just a silly question. Well, how are you going to make these soldiers obey your commands? There's been 100 retired military advisors who wrote a letter that said, Donald Trump, you're unfit to be. Yeah, they're all neocons. They're all part of the Bush administration. They're all part of the crew that brought us to Iraq. So please. And they brought that up. I mean, it was just an endless assault on Trump. Just endless. It never stopped. It never stopped. And they'll be back at it next Thursday. So there you go. There's the Pulp Fiction breakdown.